This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community. Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
This is Saturday Magazine.
And you're listening to Saturday Magazine with Tennille Moisel, Joy's CEO, and myself, Tess.
Yes, we're both here.
We're having fun, aren't we?
We are. We're not at the Grand Prix.
No, we're not getting wet.
No, we're not silly.
The temperature has dropped 4 degrees in the last hour.
Oh, how no. I didn't know that? What to wear today. I was so confused.
I know. I think I wore the wrong shoes.
Well.
So who have we got in the studio with us now?
Well, we've got a familiar face to Joy.
One of our lovely regulars.
Yes. Matthew Wade from the Star Observer, editor of the Star Observer.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, welcome, Matthew.
Good morning, Matthew. Yay, how are you?
I'm good. I was going to say, actually, I was smart and I brought an umbrella to come here to Joy, but I still managed to get all my clothes wet anyway, so I think it's just one of those days.
Like, is it absolutely pouring?
Right? It was,
it's not drizzling, it's pouring.
No, it's pouring down, yeah.
And you're one of those people who does public transport.
I was. And so
that, you're an inner city gay.
That is true. And all of us kind of trying to get off the tram in a group and everyone's just getting poured. Yeah, it was a bit of a mess.
Oh, God. So I love reading your the emails that I get from Star Observer, by the way. And last night, you know, popped up in my little inbox. And the headline story I found really disturbing. It was a story that one of your colleagues wrote, Jess, and it was about Piers Ackerman.
Oh, right.
What the hell is going on there? What's he claiming now?
So he essentially wrote an opinion piece in The Spectator earlier in the week, which called on the gay community as a whole, so not select members of the community, but everyone, to apologise to victims of child sex abuse.
Because we're responsible, supposedly.
Well, yeah, so he kind of drew on a very specific statistic.
Correlation.
You know, with the inquiry, the Royal Commission into Child Sex Abuse, and he said, I guess he implied that, you know, the majority of child sex abuses are perpetrated by homosexual men against younger...
Well, not even homosexual men, it's just
men.
Majority of victims are boys, so therefore...
It must be gay men that are... It's an epidemic, they're the ones that are perpetrating it. And it went further because not only did he compare this to, I think, the stolen generations with Indigenous communities, but also he suggested that, you know, Mardi Gras should help to pay, you know, for compensation for that.
So it's called the multi-layered offence. You know, attack, isn't it?
It was digging the hole, but like it just kept going. Like it was a never ending, like one thing after the other after the other. And it was absolutely vile. And the thing is, I think a lot of people are accustomed to him writing quite homophobic or sensational things. But I think a lot of people and a lot of our readers I know even online were saying it was even that step further than previously.
I actually find that offensive.
Big time, yeah.
It's
what can we do about
offensive.
That as a community, though?
The association between what is inherently, because we're also talking about the majority of abusers are religious men.
Mm. Yeah.
And then to kind of insinuate that is the same as actually being a gay person.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, owning that as part of your identity is just so disturbing that this person has actually, that's the correlation, that's the immediate correlation, because he didn't force that correlation.
So Matt, this is probably not your area of expertise, but what can we do about it? I mean, I just think this is really bad.
I mean, it's hate speech, and the thing is, previously, I mean, that kind of rhetoric, you know, comparing the gay community to pedophiles or even using words like bestiality, that kind of stuff, I mean, people have been saying that a very long time ago, and the mm-hmm. fact that there are still people, and not only people with platforms that are, you know, being read by the mainstream public, are still saying those kind of things is shocking. I mean, a lot of people I know on our website and our comments were kind of saying, is there a way we can report this in some way? Because, you know, it's not even mildly offensive or homophobic.
No.
Like, it's very clearly, you know, basically saying all gay men are in some way, even if they haven't perpetrated the crime themselves, are associated because it's really a gay men's issue. They're the ones that have perpetrated it. So
shifting dials a little bit, Northern Territory is actually doing a bit of catch up. What's happening in Northern Territory?
Well, I feel like there was a worry amongst many people in the community after the marriage equality debate that we might lose a bit of steam, I guess. Like everyone thought, oh, we've got marriage equality now. Yeah, let's leave it at that. But thankfully, I mean, at least in the Northern Territory, they've played a bit of catch up and kind of have come in into line with a lot of other states around the country. So just in the last couple of weeks, they announced that they'd be taking over the funding for safe schools, which is incredible. I mean, earlier last year, obviously.
For the Northern Territory to do that's amazing.
Exactly. And I mean, after the federal government obviously axed funding to it, it was a lot of people were very upset about that. And so for the Northern Territory to kind of take a stand and be like, well, we're still going to pay for it anyway. And they've, because I think they wrote to about 150 school principals saying, you know, asking them if they still wanted this to be incorporated. And the principals were like, yes, we want to send our staff to training and make sure that we're equipped with the right tools to provide this for the students. So it's really great to know that similar to Victoria and other places that it's still going to get, you know, that state funding.
Well, what other places actually?
It's Victoria, you're right. Yeah.
It is just the two now, yeah.
The two Labor governments.
Because New South Wales has like a watered down anti-bullying thing.
Well, they're going to scrap it apparently.
Yeah, the safe schools one, yeah. But yeah, so obviously they announced that. They also announced that they were going to, they made a move to expunge historical gay sex convictions. So they released a bill in Parliament this week. Which is also great. I know that, again, Victoria has done that previously, but I guess it just helps bring them. It's just bringing them into line, I guess, with the rest. And the other one, which is probably also incredibly important, is they now have adoption equality. So same-sex couples can now adopt in the Northern Territory. And they, I think, were the last state or territory to get those laws. So it means that now the whole of Australia is in line when it comes to same-sex adoption. Because previously in the Northern Territory, I believe, you know, there were still same-sex couples obviously fostering and having permanent care and things, but they weren't legally allowed to.
Yeah. So while we're on that side of the country, there's something happening in Perth as well around homeless trans people. What's that story?
Yeah, so it's a joint initiative. I mean, even though there's very little research that's been undertaken around homelessness, particularly within the LGBTI community, what has been undertaken...
Well, there's that really important piece that Ruth McNair led.
Exactly.
Yes.
Things like such as that, I guess, indicated that for LGBTI people, and specifically trans and gender diverse young people, homelessness was something they experienced at a disproportionate rate. So a number of community groups, and I think the City of Vincent in Perth, have kind of come together and they're I guess, leading a project to help tackle particularly trans homelessness in the city. So I believe they're planning to essentially aim to promote local peer support and develop referral pathways for trans people. So basically making sure that young people who are experienced that, maybe if they've been kicked out of home or things like that, they know where to go, where to find help, and inclusive help as well, which is obviously very important.
I recall the former Lord Mayor, Robert Doyle, launched that particular piece of research. And what he said was that the difference between LGBTI young people and homelessness amongst non-LGBTI people was discrimination. So discrimination was the single causal factor that contributed towards their homelessness.
Well, I can recall even ourselves, like we've written about that issue a number of times, and I can recall speaking with young trans person who found herself homeless. And when she was trying to find a shelter or somewhere to stay, she was actually knocked back by a couple of places because they just weren't equipped or they weren't sure how to, you know, help her. So.
Which is a really interesting point, isn't it? Like not being able to provide a safe space for somebody and being honest about that, but then that actually results in not providing help at all.
Exactly.
So what is the worst of those two things? So, no, there's a massive need for us to help the service providers to be able to provide that service.
And it's great because I think, you know, the Northern Territory, obviously, in the last couple of weeks have announced a number of, you know, pushing towards equality for LGBTI people up there. Now Perth is doing the Trans Homelessness Project. I think a lot of the times our conversations around LGBTI rights are very East Coast centric.
Yes, yes.
This is great.
Yeah, it's great to see that.
And thanks for bringing those to attention, actually.
Yeah, of course.
Matt, what you do is you provide such an important service to our community, and I'm very conscious that, you know, a lot is resting on your shoulders these days. But is there anything bubbling away that you could tell us about? Is there a little
bit of a stories
scoop
you like?
Or something that you're about to
What are the index
uncover?
Cards on your wall at home? What do they say?
Well, we do plan ahead. Like, we try to kind of set the agenda in a sense, as Joy does as well, in terms of what's next. Like, people are always wondering what's happening next. So I guess I really want to, as much as, you know, mainstream media have started to write about many of the stories that we are too, whether it was marriage equality and stuff like that, I want to make sure we're still able to give a voice to people that aren't getting it, people in our community. Yes. Not the people that are always the same spokespeople for certain issues, but actually those everyday stories. So, for example, in our current issue, which is has a regional and rural focus, like, you know, we spoke to somebody who grew up gay in the outback and things like that. And I guess coming up, things around workplace discrimination or rainbow families, issues around there, I guess, looking forward to what's the next frontier, what should we focus on then? And I think trans and gender diverse rights is a really big one.
Yeah.
Matthew Wade, thank you very much. You're the editor of the Star Observer. It's a paper that we all love, and I love getting my online.
It's available online, and yeah. You can sign up for the newsletter or just follow you on
the
Facebook.
The email bulletins
are
really good.
Yeah, of course. Yes, thank you. You did my work for me. Thank you.
Thanks for coming in.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.